Gloria. Miss Gloria breaking in that new knee. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Okay, we're making adjustments on this. It's obviously a little louder, and I'm trying to get used to it. Feels like something's holding onto the back of my head. But praise God. You know, we are free. We're free in all things. And we're free to love. You know, that's the hardest thing that is to do, is to love unconditionally. Because we always throw conditions on our love. I'll love you if you love me. That's what we're saying today in marriages. I hate to say it. We don't stop loving the other person. We all know, if you've been married for more than a year, you know, there's rough patches. And sometimes they get really rough. You just have to learn to hold on and fight. Not necessarily each other. Okay? Just get that settled right now. Not necessarily each other, but you have to fight for your marriage. So we're free, but we got to remember to be free to love. And that means all. The unlovable. You know, the person that rubs you the wrong way, just looking at you. Y'all know who, y'all, as soon as I said that, you all had one person in mind.
I think we're all looking at Bill.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. But praise God, He loved us, so we love Him. Amen. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for Your great love towards us, that You sent Your only begotten Son, that out of that seed that You sowed of Your Son, that You would receive many sons and daughters because of it. And Lord, we sow to You the 10% of our income. Father, the first fruits. May they be blessed, Lord God, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Cause abundance to overflow in each believer's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated for a moment. We have one real quick thing we would like to do. Two. Two. Well, one quick thing. But we can only do two.
Well,
oh, yes. We got two quick things to do. Can't do that one. You might as well stop right here, Ms. Whitney. As most of you know, last week we had a baptism. And Josh and Whitney, they are a husband-wife team. And Whitney got baptized last year at the picnic, their first one. Josh wasn't able to be with us. But Josh said he wanted to be baptized this year, so we went ahead and baptized him in the murky, well, it wasn't necessarily murky, but it was definitely muddy, waters of the Delaware. So we want to present them today with a certificate stating that you have been baptized. Honestly, it doesn't get you anything but to hang on your wall. Thank you again. And so let's give them a warm welcome. Thank you. Now, if you are a student, please stand up. I see you stand up in school. Student, school,
college.
College, high school, whatever.
College.
Now, come forward. If you're in school, let's just put it this way. I don't care if it's high school, college, whatever, graduate. If you're in school, come forward. Now, if you're a school teacher, come forward. Yeah, everybody come up in here. We are going to pray over these because it's rough in today's high school. You know, we can say back in the day, well, I had it rough too. Well, you know, back in my day, yeah, we had guns in school, and I knew who brought them in. They weren't there to shoot people. They were just there to sneak it in because they could. You know, some of you were in the generation where the biggest trouble you had was somebody chewing bubble gum. You know, I took guns to school. They were squirt guns, though. But today, you can't even do that without serious repercussions. It's serious today. So we are going to pray over these. and our guardians, you know, they, many teachers lay down their lives. We're not going to have to do that. We're going to pray. Amen? So if you will all just join hands with somebody next to you, I'm going to do it this way, right here. This will be the easiest. Yeah, he won't bite, I promise. I'll whoop him if he does. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for these students and these teachers. Lord, we pray for the students. We pray, Lord, your protection over them, over their minds, Lord God, that they will listen to you, Lord, and that they will do what is right in all situations, Father, and that you will help them to absorb the information that they are learning that will help them further their lives in the future. And Lord, we pray for the teachers as well, Lord. We pray that you grant them with peace and with mercy and much patience. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're helping them to deliver the message that they are teaching of their particular subject at the time, Lord, that in such a way that each and every student will be able to get it. Lord, we thank you that you will give them wisdom and that you will grant them also the safety and Father, and that you will open their eyes to situations that may be happening and that most people are just seeing go unnoticed, Father, that they will be able to minister to these children in their school district, and they'll also be a light to the teachers that surround them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless. Thank you, guys. Yes. Yes, yes. And since most of them are going back there, junior church is dismissed. And Genesis today, too. Okay, so we have a slight conundrum. No. Jesse, don't forget to push record. Okay, it's already recording. Good deal. Good deal. Okay. Praise God. Yeah, because school starts tomorrow for us. I was like, man. But having said that, I have trees that are turning. August 13th, and my trees are starting to turn colors. So I remember when it started happening, February. 1st of September, and now I got trees turning red and yellow. So, yeah. Yeah, we're getting warmer, that's for sure. Listen, if anybody gets really seriously bent out of shape about that, you know, man wasn't around when the dinosaurs were wiped out. We didn't do it. It's something that's been happening to this earth for generations and generations. Even during the dark ages, they believe there was a mild ice age that happened. Growing seasons got cut down, and that's why there's a food shortage. And they can prove it to you by the ice and by the ground and trees. So don't get bent out of shape. Just trust God that he knows what's going on. Speaking of God knows what's going on, boy, I tell you what, we got to watch some of the meteor shower last night. And I guess you'll be able to see them again tonight. They say best time is before dawn, which knock yourself out. Because I will be out. But we got to see a lot of neat, a lot of neat stuff in the air. And one of the things that was more attractive to me was watching military planes. Now, you don't pay attention to them until you realize that commercial planes don't fly two by two. And I was watching planes flying on the same plane or in line with each other last night, and there were a lot of them, more than usual, which, thank God. And I know there was at least one set of fighter jets, because they were really moving, and which I think are just awesome. I wish they were a little lower so I could hear them roar. I remember we moved into Mount Gilead. There was a guy, his mother lived here in town, and he was in the Navy Reserves, and he would fly his F-16 down from Toledo, and he'd just come right, we were right there on it. Man, he'd fly, and I remember I could see him in that jet banking. And you don't realize how big these planes are. People don't realize that wingtip to wingtip on an F-16 is 73 feet. This building is 72 feet this way. That plane looks little and all that up in the sky. You get it on the ground, and then you see an aircraft carrier that has got row upon row of those things sitting on its deck. Yeah. Mr. Kim better not be getting stupid anytime soon. Praise God. Yeah. Unfortunately, he was born that way, but let's remember to keep praying for our country and pray for our president and for the opponents of our president. Whether you voted for him or not, it's immaterial. He is your president. Suck it up. I'm just being honest. I sucked it up for 8 years. 16 years if you count the president, 8 years before him. Okay? Let's pray for our president. The Bible doesn't tell us whether we like him or not. I prayed for President Clinton. I prayed for President Obama. You were in here when I prayed for him many times. Pray for President Trump. All right. Having said that, today, I told you last week I had a message that the Lord wanted me to preach. And I think it is a good message. And it's good for all of us. There may be one or two in here who need to hear it more. And so I said, Lord, I will do it. So today I want you to open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. Let's go to verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abarzite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." A couple things stand out to me. First off, I need you to understand. You see that the word "the angel of the Lord," that is capitalized. That is a deity. Okay, this, and if you have not studied out, is actually Jesus prior to taking on flesh. It's the same angel of the Lord that stopped Abraham. Remember, he said, "Now I know. It identifies that there is a deity to this particular angel. This wasn't Michael, this wasn't Gabriel, it wasn't Lucifer, it was none of them, other than the Son of God himself. The same words were used, except in this case, they identified it specifically as more of a deity. Now, second off, here you've got a man that the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, says, "You mighty man of valor." Mind you, this dude is hiding, grinding his wheat. He's out there threshing it, getting it ready to make some bread. And this man says, "Hey, almighty man of valor." And he's like, I can imagine he's looking around and saying, "Me? I'm hiding." But let's point out something. There was nobody else out. Nobody else was out there doing this. Because the Midianites would see him and they'd come and they'd take their wheat. They'd wait till he did all the work and then they'd come and take it. That's real fun, isn't it? You do all the work and somebody else takes what you did. But now, here's something that just caught my eye. Gideon, after he says, "The Lord is with you," Gideon has the audacity, we'll call it courage, to accuse God. I'm not going to lie, there's many people probably sitting right here today who have said, "If God is with America, where is he? Where's his miracles?" See, I believe what's happened to a lot of the miracles is we turned them into sideshow freaks. Come see the miracles. Come see the miracles. People who want to see signs, Jesus called them an evil and perverse generation. I don't need to see somebody's leg grow out to know that there's a God. I believe it in my heart. I don't need to be slain in the spirit on the floor, rolling around, to know that he is with me. I don't even need to wear jewelry that reminds me he is with me. because what I have cannot be taken. I can give it away to be stolen, but it cannot be taken away from me unless I allow it. And there's a generation today that is saying this very thing. If there is a God, where is his peace? Where is his mercy? Where are his miracles? Where's his justice? Where's his righteousness? Because religion has taught that God is this, this, and this. And the truth of the matter is, if we get in the Word of God, we see only on occasion did God ever have to do that. He didn't want to. So then the angel turns around and says, go in this might of yours. He even recognized the audacity of Gideon and said, this is the might I'm talking about. This audacity that you have, that you believe that I'm not going to wipe you out right now. But he said, go. But that's not even the message today, folks. It was that last verse, verse 15. How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. In other words, he was the little brother. And his father's house was the little brother. When things ran on a hierarchy, that meant that something. Today, it doesn't mean anything. We make our own path. We make our own decisions. Back then, the decisions were made by the eldest. And if you were the youngest, you got the scraps. Now, what did he do here? The angel of the Lord, Jesus, called him a mighty man of valor. And what's the one thing he did? He looked and he said, I'm weak. My clan is weak. My family is weak. He said, I'm comparing myself to Judah, who is strong, who is mighty. How can God use me? We do this today still. Lord, I don't have a platform. I don't have great oration skills. I just proved that. I don't have a cult of personality that people will follow. Well, if it's just a personality you're following, right there's your first problem. We compare ourselves to other people all the time. And we get lost in that. We get lost trying to identify who we are by saying, but I'm not like my big brother. I'm not like my father. I'm not like this person or that person. I don't have all these great skills. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you can take the greatest football player on a team. He can be smoking hot. And you can take the linemen and surround him that protect him. And if they don't believe they're the best and they keep comparing themselves to him and saying, but who am I? They will never be able to uphold what they're supposed to do because they're comparing themselves to somebody who does a different job. God has anointed you for the things only you can do. Only Gideon could do this. You know why? Because he was the only one in Israel who was out that day. He was the only one in broad daylight. Why would you want to do this at daylight instead of night? Because at night, you're not going to find all the kernels of wheat. In the daytime, he could at least see them. Daytime, there's actually wind blowing. Unless you have a storm, if you probably never paid attention to this, unless there's a storm moving through at night, the wind dies down in the daytime. It is science. The sun comes up, creates heat, which creates movement. Right? If you ever pay attention to windmills, they stop spinning at night. The sun comes up, starts all over again. The windmills start spinning. They needed the wind as they threw the chaff in the air to blow the chaff away. Well, they didn't have that at night. So now imagine eating your wheat with the chaff. It's not fun picking straw out of your teeth while you're trying to eat bread, but they were doing that. They would rather do that than develop a little bit of courage. So God was trying to get him to understand, I see you as a mighty man of valor. Mighty. I mean, he didn't even address the issue that, okay, yeah, you are kind of cowering here. He just came right out and said, you're a mighty man of valor. Listen, I want some of you to hear this, you men particularly. When I call you a man of God, you may not feel like a man of God. I do this because somebody did it for me when I didn't feel like a man of God. And because that person did it, I'm here today. Because he saw something. Whether God gave him a divine vision or not is immaterial. He knew better than to say, hey, slug. When we compare ourselves to somebody else, we're saying, God, what you created, what you did in me wasn't good enough. I got to be tall like Richard. Or I got to be super smart like Ryan. I got to understand mathematics like Jason. Man, some of this stuff, these guys know, just frizzles my brain. But God didn't make me them, nor did he make them me. He didn't make me Richard's height. He made me the height I am for a reason. I rarely have to duck. I generally don't have problems finding pants or shoes. Well, I take it back. I do, because what I found out is I'm actually very average. Didn't realize that until I got in the Marine Corps. And I'd go to the exchange to buy pants. They didn't have pants because there were so many guys my size. I ran into, last Saturday, this guy down at Farm Days. I'm looking at some of the antiques he's got in his booth, and, you know, he's bald and got a handlebar beard-type mustache thing going on, and got turquoise and silver rings and tattoos and motorcycle shirt and, you know, chain going around to motorcycle boots, the whole nine yards. And I was just wearing my Marine Corps t-shirt. And I was walking around there and I came out and he said, Marines, huh? I said, yeah. He said, you don't look like a Marine. I said, that's the deceptive part. What I don't look like might kill you. He had been in the Navy. So he was giving me a little friendly rub there. But God didn't make me big and burly like him. By the way, I found out he's a substitute school teacher too. Joshua said, that is the same way he dresses, Mr. G. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Joshua said, that is how he shows up at school and that's how he teaches right there. He says, what you see is what you get. He was a nice enough guy. That's not who God made me. God didn't make me to fit in anybody else's shoes. God didn't make me to follow in my dad's footsteps. I was trying. I wanted to be a lineman. God didn't make me to do that. So to compare myself to my father or my uncles, who were all linemen, would be futile. Because God had a different calling. What God's got for you isn't the same thing God had for somebody else. We want our children. The only thing I have for my children is to be who God created you to be. If he created you to play music, you play music. If he created you to farm or work on tractors and trucks, you do that. If he created you to play basketball, you play basketball. But don't try to be somebody else. Justin, his favorite thing right now is basketball. He can tell you just about any statistic. I mean, the kid is nuts. Dad, do you know who this person is? I have no idea. If it ain't Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, you know, some of the guys from the 80s. I don't even know anything about LeBron James, but he can tell you just about anything about LeBron James. He can tell you what size of shoe the boy wears. I mean, this is nuts. But God didn't make me that way. He made Justin for that desire. As a matter of fact, he was given a basketball hoop about 2 weeks ago, and it has sat in our driveway at 7 foot because he wants to dunk. And at 11 years old and 5'2", I think he's going to outgrow me real quick. I'm only a couple inches short of being the shortest male in my family now because my brothers are both a hair taller than me. I take it. Well, my dad has shrunk. We were the same. But you see, you can't compare yourself to other people and think God can't use you. And here in this instant, he was trying to compare. He was thinking in his head, I'm not of Judah. See, you got to understand, Judah was known. The actual son of Abraham, or Isaac as you were, the son of Isaac was known for fighting. We know Judah as praise. But Judah was known as a mighty warrior. You didn't cross Judah. He would kill you. No thoughts about it. You know, there's a saying that says, that which does not kill you makes you stronger, but bears. Bears will kill you. So would Judah. Judah was known as a mighty, mighty warrior. And everybody compared themselves to Judah. That's, if you wanted to be a warrior, you needed to be on his class. But the problem is, he failed in many areas. Judah wasn't called to deliver Israel. Judah was called later to produce the line that produced Jesus Christ. Right at this moment, Manasseh, son of Joseph, was chosen. And he had to share, they had to take Levi out as a tribe of inheritance and put Joseph's two sons in. So he basically split an inheritance. So yeah, he was the littlest. And out of it, God brought somebody who we know, most of us know the story. God says, you're going to take out the Midianites. They go. He had 20,000. God says, you're a little too heavy. All right, let's thin them out. So God starts thinning them out. First thing he says, those of you who really don't want to be here, go home. 17,000 gone. By the way, he's going up against an army of 20,000. It would have been perfect. But when 17,000 of them say, I really don't want to do this, it's not good. God says, you're still a little heavy-handed. Now, I don't know about y'all, but and here's what I believe what happened. God did this, because you remember, Gideon tested God. God, if you really did tell me to do this, make the ground wet and that fleece dry. Okay, now, just to double check, make the fleece soaking wet and the ground completely dry. Two times he did that. Two times God tested him. So if you want to fleece God, so to speak, ask yourself, are you willing to be fleeced twice? Because at this point, he's now got 3,000. God says, take him down to get him a drink of water. And every man who drinks laps it up like a dog, and every man who cups, that's who you separate. And when it all was all said and done, he was down to 300 men. 3,000 wanted to be there. 3,000 were ready to go kick some butt. But only 300 got picked because of the way they drank the water. And for some reason, my mind is telling me that it was the men who lapped it up like a dog. which is the wrong way. You're on all fours. You're vulnerable. Three 300 men who didn't have the first common sense about combat. Was it the other way? Okay. Like I said, for some reason, my brain was trying to tell me. So it was the ones who held on to their sword and cupped it. But nonetheless, that's not exactly how God delivered them. Now, is it? Did it matter they were the greatest? No, not a bit. Because what God said is, here's what I want you to do. Get pitchers, get your torches, put the torch inside the pitcher, get you some trumpets. I want you to come down the mountainside, and when I tell you, break open the torches and blow the trumpets. And they got down there, and as they did, they shouted for the Lord and for Gideon. And the Midianites were so scared to death that anything that moved, they killed it. Israel wasn't even in the camp yet. So guess you all heard of friendly fire. This was friendly swording. They turned on each other. And those that survived, they fled. God delivered Israel just because of the obedience of one person who everybody else looked around and said, you're not good enough. See, we can't tell people they're not good enough for something if God has called them. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. That's why I'm here. By all rights, I have no reason to be here. I didn't go to Bible school, or as some people have called it, cemetery school. Karen was always talking about in the one church they came out of years ago, they'd get a young preacher, hadn't gone to school yet, and boy, he was good, he was fiery, and they'd send him to cemetery school. Come back, and he was dead, dry, and dusty. Religion steals the personality out of a person. They want you to dress alike, look alike, sound alike, act alike. I don't want you to act like me. I couldn't handle it. The world, this community couldn't handle it. It's bad enough I have three sons. Three. It's bad enough I got three sons that act a lot like me. But you cannot compare yourself to somebody else and think less of yourself. Jeremiah 29:11. God said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This was to Israel who was sinning. God said, I know what I think about you. How is it any different than us today? If he cares about a sparrow, trust me, he cares about you. And he said, I know what I think, what I have for you. You may not understand it yet. I didn't. I was 19 years old, had no clue. Everybody tells you, listen, if you're 19, you should know exactly what you're going to do. Hogwash. The first job I had was building fences. That didn't work out. I was supposed to start as a groundman. So that didn't work out. I joined the military, did that for 4 years, got out and held a slew of jobs. None of them worked out. Because I had no clue this was what God had for me. I just wasn't ready for it yet. I can promise you I wasn't ready. There are times I still say, God, am I really ready? Okay, you thought I was, so I guess I am. All right, let's go. You may never feel totally ready for what you're doing. Just do it. Take Nike's slogan and just do it. Get up and do something. Well, God has called me to do this. You know this, do you? You know for a fact. Well, I don't know. Well, wait until you do know, because if you try it without knowing that God called you, you will get knocked on your can. There's too many preachers today. I'm called to preach. They may be called to preach, but not called to pastor. Many evangelists come off the road and start churches because, one, they think, well, I got financial security. Well, you don't get as much finances as you think you get. You now have a building, you now have upkeep, you now have this, you now have that. And they come out and they try starting churches and they can be the most powerful. I know of one who was a very powerful preacher, and he opened my eyes to the Holy Spirit, more about the Holy Spirit's role. Blessed man of God. But somewhere along the line, he decided he needed to pastor a church. And I know it was because he thought, hey, I got a nice following here. I start a church. It'll help maintain me. He's not preaching even today that I'm aware of, because he got into something he wasn't called to. We need preachers, but we don't need a million pastors. We need pastors who know they're called, who can stand and get ready to fight, and who know where they're supposed to be. You know, when I posted sentries, my job was to make sure they were there. If I told my assistant duty, I said, your job is right here. Don't move. Or when I was posted as a sentry, my job was right there. Nobody else could remove me. Even if we came under attack, I was not supposed to move. Now, the scary part about all that is, it was only in the Philippines that I actually had live ammunition. All the other posts I stood, I had to carry my rifle, but it was empty. Go think about that. Think about the smarts of guarding a military base with no ammo. And they would put us on the front gate at Subic Bay, just across a little river, and they knew there were communists in there. That's why the gates were closed, who were waiting to come in. And I'm standing there at the front gate, and I hate to say it, my job was to hand out condoms. They're going to go do it. I'd rather they not get sick. I know you may not agree with me, but they're going to do it. That was my job. They had to sign out and take a liberty card. That's what we called them. I'm standing there, and we have no knocking on the... We had Marines there too, but there weren't that many Marines guarding that gate. The rest of the Marines were patrolling the jungle because there's no fences. Could have been overthrown at any moment. God didn't put us in places and not provide for us properly. Granted, they taught me how to fight with the weapon without ammunition, but I would rather not have to get that close to you. God knows the future he's got for you. He knows what it's going to take to set you up for it. Listen, you can sit and say, oh, but you don't know what I've had to go through. God is going to use what you've gone through. He will use it every little bit. The things I've gone through, the things I put myself through, God has used me, has used in me to create mercy for others. Okay? Because without mercy, without compassion, I'm just a religious gong. I'm making noise. And when I become a noisemaker, instead of getting in with the rest of the band and making music, I will be removed. So don't think that, well, you know, I'm not, you know, I might not be as good looking as Pastor. Well, I'm sorry, nobody is. Nobody may be as conceited as me either, but no. Some of you are getting real serious. I just had to throw you into... Judging ourselves by somebody else, we don't know what their failings are. Some of the biggest guys I knew in boot camp, I mean, some of them were big, were the weakest. I'm telling you, folks, and I understand, well, you know, they're bigger, they got a bigger body. Their arms were the size of my legs. They should be able to do 10 pull-ups. I could do 40. And I could, tiny little arms and chicken legs. But the truth of the matter is, I later found out the Marine Corps really didn't want all those huge guys. They wanted the smaller guys. We're wiry. We got a chip on our shoulder. But God used everything that I've gone through today to help me. Luke 15. Whoa, wrong one. This is the story of the prodigal son. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Here's the greatest part of this. But the father said to his servants, I want you to understand, folks, and you don't have to read any further. He just told him what to go do. The words came out of his son, I'm not even good enough to be your servant. He was comparing himself to a servant. He now saw himself as his oldest brother saw him. Do you get this? He was pulling his self-worth out of what somebody else thought of him, not what his father saw. His father didn't even register it. It says, but he said to the servant, he didn't even admit that his son had just said that. And he restored his son. God's not comparing you to somebody else. You fall down, you get back up. I will give the prodigal son this much. He had enough wherewithal to realize, okay, my situation is dire. I need to go where I can eat. And my father certainly will not just kick me out. I may have to work now, but I'm not going to starve. God does not cast us out. Well, you know, I'm just not perfect. None of us are perfect. That's the whole point. And any person who thinks they're perfect, walk away. Facing them, they might stab you in the back. That's usually the ones that do it. The father did not even register that his son, he loved him. He just loved him. God's not about to cast you out. God's not about to say, well, you're going to go to the mines with you. I don't know why it is every apocalyptic show or any show, especially in the Roman era, I understood they did send. It's to the mines. You can even watch modern movies. They're space mines. And they got space slaves working in space mines on some meteor. I don't know what it is. You figure we can send a rocket up here. You can at least make a piece of equipment that can drill through it. I don't know. Your self-worth has been attacked if you are having a problem seeing yourself as God sees you. Also in the chapter of Luke, it's not going to show up on the screen. Luke 18, I believe it is. Jesus told of two men who went to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. He knew the word of God inside and out. He knew its interpretation. He knew every jot and tittle. But he went to the tabernacle and he prayed. And he lifted his hands and said, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. As he's glancing across the way at the tax collector. His brother, who he now considered a sinner because, you know, certainly no Jew would ever collect taxes from another Jew. Lord, I thank you I'm not like him. An extortioner, thief, adulterer. But I give tithe, Lord. I give alms. I come to the temple daily. I go to church every time. And the Bible says, Jesus said, the man on the other side of the street wouldn't even lift his eyes. And he just beat himself. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. That man went down justified. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. I don't think every parable was made a made-up story. Because I got this funny feeling, since he identified a tax collector, it very well could have been Zacchaeus, who we would now know later would become more righteous than anybody. Because not only did he paid back with interest. I would like to get my tax return back with interest. You know, particularly if you get late, you know, they charge you interest and penalties that your tax is minute. How about you pay me that back? You overtaxed me for 1 year. That's what Zacchaeus did. He was righteous. He wanted to do what was right before God. But that man was comparing himself to somebody whose heart was broken. He probably took the job to feed his family and fell into something. Was it right for him to extort? No. But it was even worse for the other man to compare himself to this guy. When we see somebody, you know, listen, you see a young mother in a grocery store and she's buying food and you know she's on welfare, feel free not to judge her. Pray for her. Well, I just can't believe that. You know, she's just got, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You ain't thanking God. You're patting yourself on the back. Don't break your arm doing it. We have got to remember, God didn't call us to compare ourselves up or down to anybody. The only mark that I've got to attain is the high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ on my life. And I will run that course the best I can. I'm not Kenneth Copeland. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Oral Roberts. I'm not Mark Albert. Steve Kennedy. I'm me. Imperfect. I get mad. Sometimes let my mouth run off. I try to control it. James said, that thing is wicked. He said, that tongue, it's wicked. But I repent. And I go my way. I'm not going to sit there and wallow in a pool of self-pity. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I did this. You know what? I'll help you up, but if you keep wanting to lay down in it, I'm going to let you figure out how to get out of it. Because my helping you up is not condemning you. There are many people I know, they'd have done stoned you. That's not God. Do you notice Jesus never stoned anybody? The Apostle Paul did. And very likely, so did the other disciples. Because they didn't understand God's mercy at the time. We have nobody to compare ourselves but Jesus Christ. And when we do that, even on our most perfect day, when we've gotten up and we've prayed for an hour, we read 20 scriptures of our memory book, and we've got those committed to memory, and we compare ourselves to the Word, we realize, I have fallen short. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, yeah, I'm trying to compare myself to this, and right here I am. On my best day. You know, I used to have guys do that in the Marine Corps. I could run. I didn't like to. And when we'd have to go out for PFT, it was always hilarious. And the only reason I ran in formation and I could run the same speed as everybody else is because I was being forced to. You need to understand this. When I was forced, I could do it. But not, I took my time. I'm like, who cares? I did my time, still got first class PFT. That's all that mattered to me. But here's what I remember hearing these guys one time. They're right out of boot camp. I mean, they ain't even been in the Marine Corps a year. And they're like, they said, right there's Corporal Woodell. Keep up with him. I'm like, really? Am I that fast? I try, and here's my thing. I was trying to keep up with my gunny. Now, mind you, I thought the guy, he was old. That's in my mind, you know, and then reality sets in, and I realize he wasn't 30 yet. But he was only yay tall. And he was a tiny guy. And only took steps that long. I tried to pace myself on his steps. Big mistake. Run your stride if you're a runner. I tried to chop my steps to match his. Wore me out. About killed me. And the same thing happened with those guys. They were trying to compare themselves to me in running. And I didn't take as long of a step as they did. Like I said, I got stuck with the short legs in the family. And these guys, some of them were taller than me, trying to take my stride. And so they wore themselves out trying to stride with me instead of running their race. My word to you today as a believer is run your race. Run your speed. Don't run mine. Don't worry about me if you pass me. And I heard people say this before. You know, well, you know, if you got enough room for a kick at the end, then you didn't run. I'm going to tell you right now, I ran 20 miles before, and I found enough to kick. For me, it was passing somebody when they thought they had won the race. I could do it anytime. I don't care. I did literally had run 20 miles and did it. But I had actually given my all during the run. Just because somebody can kick at the end doesn't mean they were holding back. They were pacing themselves. Our biggest thing was, they always tell us, we're going to drop you 3 miles from a town that's being overrun by communists. Back then, we were still training for communists. And we're going to drop you 3 miles. You guys are going to have to run full combat gear. That stinks. I'm like, yeah, right. You're going to be taking a tank and I'm going to grab a ride. I'm not going to lie about it. There's going to be a truck or something going by, I can promise you. And this little white boy is getting on. But I couldn't compare myself to these other people. I can't compare myself to other preachers, other fathers. Can't compare myself to my own father. I didn't walk in his shoes. I'm walking in mine. And I have to run my race. You have to run your race. And I forget who I was even talking to the other day, and we were talking about raising kids. There's no manual comes with it. And about the time you think you've got it figured out, you have another one and realize they're entirely different. They are the exact opposite of this one that you just got used to. You just thought, okay, I can handle this one. And then you get the wall climber. I saw a video of a baby the other day. I tagged Morgan and Caleb in the video of this little baby. They took double gates, bars are straight up and down, and stacked them and locked them in this hallway. And this baby climbed them all the way to the top. And he knew to put his feet, and he locked himself up in there and knew how to hold on. I'm like, he's just a little bit bigger than Grace. I'm like, how on earth did this little boy figure that out? I talked to a neighbor one time, and the neighbor said, you know, because of our first son, we were done. We weren't having any more. Because of our first son, we were done. We weren't having any more kids. Yeah, well, this one just about did him in. He still holds the record for the most rolls of his car at school. Rolled his car in the parking lot and then ran. It rolled back over on its wheels and he drove it home. By the way, it was here in Mount Gilead. And he told me about it. But his dad said, we were done. 10 years later, honey, we're going to have another baby. And he said, he was the exact opposite. He said, now if we had had him first, we would have tried for another one sooner. You can't compare yourself. You can't compare your children. Quit comparing your children to each other. They're entirely different. Their makeup is different. What one likes, the other one hates. I got one that hates strawberries. I can't for the life of me fathom that. Joe's back here. Joe can agree. There's some of you don't like strawberries. Well, you can come pick mine so I can have some to process because I eat them. My mom and dad used to put me in the strawberry patch. You know, they wouldn't let kids in. Remember the day? No kids allowed in the strawberry patch except a certain age. I qualified for the age, but that didn't stop me. About every 10th one, there was one in the mouth. Yeah, that's what we'll call it. But understand this, God's not judging you by somebody else. He's going to hold you by the standard of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. He's holding you by the standard of Jesus Christ. God is merciful. If you're going to thank God every morning for something, thank Him for His mercy. But we will never be as righteous as Jesus. We will never be perfect. But understand this. That's the only mark He's holding you to. And by the way, that mark, just so you guys understand, is covered in His blood. Keep that in mind. When you understand that, then you'll understand mercy. And you'll be able to give it more. And I want you to. But I want people to quit comparing themselves to other people and trying to find their worth. And just because somebody comes in and they look different, you know, I'll tell this a little bit. I know before Tim and Sarah came, Tim's concern was whether we would like him because of his tattoos. If you got a tattoo, raise your hand. There you have it, folks. Nobody's judging you. Mine would be up, but I don't have any. I'm covered in freckles. I'm God's connect the dot. He just connects. Whatever it turns out to be, it turns out to be. One of these days, it'll show up. And I'm like, cool. But for now, I'm just freckles. Nobody's judging you. Nobody is going to compare you to themselves. And if they are, they're the loser. All right. Let's stand. God's mercy is not for a select few. God's mercy does not know color lines. It doesn't know what group in Europe you came from, or Africa, or wherever your family came from. It doesn't know whether you're Jew or Gentile, because the Bible says in the New Testament, there is no Greek nor Jew. You need to understand, we got thrown in with the Greeks. No Greek or Jew. God doesn't look down and say, well, you know, your descendants were Philistines. Well, come on, Jesus' grandmother was a prostitute. If we're going to go throwing stones. She was. It was Rahab, the harlot. Jericho, look it up. That's why Jesus had mercy. Because she proved herself to be a righteous woman in spite of what she did for a living. I find it really hard. Because what it does is it leads us to being judgmental, just as the Pharisee. We start looking at somebody, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm not like them. Lord, I am like them. Just on a different level. Just in a different area. We're all alike. When we think we're so perfect, listen, I don't want to be around when the smackdown comes. Yes, it will. It will come. Because God loves us that much. He loves us that much. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that your great love covers our sin and our shortfalls. Lord, I pray now that you help us all to readjust our thinking of who we are in you, but not to compare ourselves to other people to find our worth, or to just because we like something that nobody else likes, or we dislike something that everybody likes. Lord, help us. Help us to realize that the only mark we have is you. And Father, I know right now, and I pray for those that are in here today, Lord, the devil's number one weapon against us is doubt. He creates doubt. He did it with Adam and Eve when he said, did God say this? And you will be like God, when in reality we were already created like God. He came at Jesus, our Savior, with doubt. If you are who you say you are. Lord, help us all to overcome that doubt. We are who you say we are. We are not what somebody else has thought of. We are not what somebody else has groomed us to be. But we are what you have created us to be. Lord, I pray now that you help each and every person come to that realization and live up to their potential in you. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord, as they go out. Lord, I thank you again that you're with our teachers. You're with our students. Lord, you're with people on the road that they remember there's buses out. Lord, I praise you for all that you're doing in their lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.